Hi. This is Natalia. This is another episode of Cafeteria Christian. I have no idea what I'm doing because Nora's not here and she is always the one who gets us going. So here we go. This is Natalia. Nora is traveling the country on her book tour, and you should all go buy her book and go see her on tour if you can. And in the meantime, we've had some requests for a Natalia's Bible Corner. So I took requests and what people wanted out of that, and we have a couple episodes of that just to tide you over until Nora stops being so famous and awesome. That'll never happen, but she will be back. So until that happens, until Nora's back and we're having time to record some new epis for you, we're going to do some of these. So in the meantime, this is Cafeteria Christian. You have half of us here today, and as usual, we're going to start the episode by thanking our patrons on Patreon, as Nora would say. I don't do a bad French accent nearly as badly good as she does. But in her absence, we will say Patreon. And just want to say thank you to all the people who have come on to our Patreon and donated and supported us and left messages of encouragement and encourage other people to give as well. So if that's you, thank you so much. We love you. We are so appreciative of you, and you keep making this happen, which is awesome. And we are getting to do things with that money. That is awesome. We get to help people and groups in need, which we said we would do with our first fruits. So we voted and donated, and that's awesome. So this week I would like to thank the following patrons: Jay Hurd, Jacqueline Erdo, Victoria Karpitsky, I hope I said that right, Amy Tracy, Vanessa Riley, and Mandy Weingarten. You all rock. Thank you so much for donating. If you hear noises in the background, my cat, I'm recording at home, and my cat has a burrito that he likes to play with, and he is currently losing his mind with his big burrito. So that will be in the background, hopefully not in a way you can hear. Anyway, so thank you very much to all those patrons. And if you want to donate, go again to Patreon/CafeteriaChristian and donate there. All right, so I asked for some suggestions from people on the Instagram about topics for this. And of course, people said they wanted to get a whole bunch of different things, but we had some themes. And so one theme that came up was women in the Bible, and we're going to do that with a special guest next week. But this week, since it is the beginning of this week, in the church, Holy Week, I'm going to talk about Holy Week and what it means and what it's about. So it is not like a biblically mandated week we need to celebrate or acknowledge or walk through, though each day in the week of Holy Week does sort of follow along the Bible stories that fit. So wow, I'm really, really do great when it's just me. I need Nora here talking back at me. Oh, it's so sad, you guys. It's so sad without Nora. Nora, come back. Okay, anyway. So the first part of Holy Week starts with Palm Sunday. That's the Sunday before Easter. This is traditionally when we celebrate or remember that Jesus entered into Jerusalem and people hailed him as a king. So it is when, if you've gone to church on Palm Sunday ever in your life, they hand you a palm, either a whole green palmy leaf or one of those pokey stick things that you can fold into like crosses and shapes and stuff. Either way, that is how we start the week. So we do this because palms... So palms sort of represent this moment of celebration. So you wave your palms in the air and we say, Hosanna, glory to God. You know, he is King, Christ the King, Hosanna in the highest. And this is sort of the way people celebrated kings. So this is really recognizing who Jesus is in the world, that Christ is King. But then things change quickly. Now, if you are a person who goes to church only on Sundays and then maybe not even that, it's pretty easy to go just from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, because if you want to fit the rest of the story into the mix, you need to go Thursday and Friday. And a lot of people don't do that. I get it. But also, you know, you miss something. People choose to go, as a Lutheran pastor, Nadia Boltz-Weber, said, from the big parade to the empty tomb. They just skip all the uncomfortable, icky stuff like the death and abandonment by all his friends and all of that, the taunting of the crowd and all of that stuff. People choose to skip that. And I truly, truly, I get it. So it's easy to go from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. We can avoid all of the uncomfortableness that happens when we go there, when we spend time in those other days. But I really encourage people to consider the other services. Maundy Thursday is a particular favorite of mine. And one of the things I love about it is the text that is with this night, with Maundy Thursday, is the text of the Last Supper. But Maundy Thursday, or Holy Thursday, Maundy means mandate. It's a Latin word. And it means where Jesus commanded us to love each other. And this command to love each other as I have loved you happens right as Jesus washes their feet, the feet of his disciples. So he is showing just this pure servanthood moment to his disciples. And he is saying, like, this is how we loved. This mandate Thursday is an important one for us to separate this moment pre-death of Christ from all that happens on Good Friday. And one of the reasons I like it in particular is that it is also representative of the Last Supper, that Jesus knows what's coming. He knows what is going to happen that evening in the story. This all kind of happens quickly, and we separate it out into specific days. But Jesus chooses to spend that last night pre-getting arrested and killed with his friends, with the people he loves the most. He eats a meal together with them. And I think that truly the most beautiful moments in life happen, or the best conversations, or the way you really learn about somebody or get to know somebody or be with somebody, is by sitting around a table and sharing a meal. And so I love Maundy Thursday for this reason, that Jesus looks around the table, these people he loves the most, and eats with them, and then washes their feet, and then says, love each other like I love you. And man, do I just love that. So at the church I serve at, we celebrate First Communion on our Maundy Thursday service, and that is awesome. It's just such a great celebration to remind people of what that's like. And I love this idea of gathering around the table with the people you love, and having then a meal we actually do share together at the communion table. And I think that is very representative and so beautiful, to come around a table and share a meal. So I like the image of the Lord's Supper, that we come around the table and we hear those words, for you. And in the story, there's this line in the gospel where verse one, it says in Luke's gospel, and in John's gospel, actually, too, it talks about Jesus said he loves them to the end. And that's such a beautiful verse. This says in verse 1 of John 13, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew his hour had come. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The thing I like most about this is that when we think of grace and good news, we often think about being considered a beloved child of God no matter what, but we don't always think about what that means. And this verse, I think the sneaky gospel in it is that it reminds us what that means. Jesus sits at a table with the people who are going to betray him, deny him, fall asleep while he's praying, run away when they get scared, doubt him, and fall apart. He's sitting around with a table and it says he loves them to the end. Jesus knew what was going to happen and loves them to the end. And I think that what makes that like pure sneaky gospel to me is because when we hear that verse, if you go to church this week, this Maundy Thursday, and you hear that verse, it's the same. Jesus knows who's gathering around the table. Jesus knows who has come to share in this meal with him. And he knows that sitting in the room, there are deniers and doubters and strugglers and runaways and agnostics and not surers and I'm finers and I can do it on my owners and definitely I don't need Jesus. Even on that night, on this Maundy Thursday, Jesus knows those who are gathered around the table. And still, he will invite us to the table, look us in the eyes, and say, this is for you. No matter what you do next, no matter what you do in the face of joy or sorrow, he loves you to the end. And so if you get a chance to have communion on Maundy Thursday, I hope you hear those words, and I hope you hear this verse for what it is. He loved them to the end, that it is you that Christ also continues to love, no matter what happens next. And then, so then there's Friday, the day that literally nobody wants to go to, and I get it for sure. I get that people do not like Good Friday. And in fact, that's why a lot of churches have started doing this Palm Passion Sunday on Palm Sunday, because they combine the two, knowing that people tend to not come back on Thursday and Friday, right? So we want to get it in there if we can. I don't know. I think if you grew up like me, I grew up Catholic. I tend to joke now that Catholics kind of do the death of Christ like nobody else does. And I say that kind of jokingly, but I really mean that the Good Friday services that I grew up with were very powerful and meaningful. And also they don't shy away from what happened, that the weight of the world is on the shoulders of God and God is there, right? And I think the hard thing about Good Friday is that we've tended to make it like you did this. You person sitting in the pew or in the church or whatever, you did this to Jesus, your bad works or the things you did wrong or all of your sins, like you killed Jesus. And I think that is really hard to hear. And in fact, that same Lutheran pastor, Nadia Boltz-Weber, she used to say she would be tortured by how the sins she'd committed throughout the week were why God was angry enough to kill God's own son, right? Like, she just could not understand that. So I think, and she sort of questions this phrase. She says, the fact we'd made God out to be a divine child abuser or God's an angry loan shark demanding his pound of flesh, right? Like, those are our two options on Good Friday. And I agree with her that they are not good enough, or they are not right, and they feel kind of icky at its core. Jürgen Moltmann is a German theologian. He said the cross cannot and will not be loved. And I think that is absolutely true in his book, A Crucified God. And I think that we cannot, like, when people say, oh, I'm so thankful, like, the Friday is good because Jesus dies, that's icky. I don't think calling it Good Friday helps at all, truly. So I think it's interesting to think of the cross as God on the cross. Like, instead of saying, look what you did, which sort of makes the cross about you, which, I mean, we're really, really good about centering ourselves in any story that we have. But when you say, look what you did, your sins did this, you did this to Jesus, that, or you made God so angry, God had to do this to Jesus, which also feels icky. Luke's gospel helps a lot in this telling of the story. Jesus has a lot of agency and makes a lot of his own choices in this scenario. But also, God isn't like standing above the cross, like watching what's happening. God is on the cross. Like, God loves us so much that God goes that far, like takes on the rightful punishment of the world, not just like of Sarah, but like the whole world. And essentially the justified punishment of the world, and in order that we might not have to die, right? Like, this is the way. It's sort of hard to imagine, because as people, we're kind of vengeful people, right? We're kind of jerks. We sort of want to say like, well, if somebody hurts me, I'm going to hurt them. So why wouldn't God be that way, right? So again, I'm going to use Pastor Nadia's quote where she said, the cross isn't where a legal transaction where Jesus pays our debt. She says, we see God. This is the word made flesh hangs from the cross as though God is saying, I would rather die than be in your sin accounting business anymore. And then he's up there dying. And what does Jesus say? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. So Good Friday is hard. It is a hard day. Maybe calling it good is wrong. Dark Friday, hard Friday, sad Friday. There's other names for it that I think might fit better, because it cannot be good. But also, it is a reminder of when things are really bad, it is not the end. And truly, that's why I feel like people in the world need Good Friday. We need to not jump from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. We need this Good Friday because we need to remind ourselves and to see it for ourselves that, like, when our life is really bad, God has already been there. Like, really, when you go through something awful, God's already gone through something awful. When people tease you and bully you and mock you, God's been through that. When people trip you and push you and beat you up, God's been through that. And when people call you a liar and tell you you're not who you think you are, they tell you who you are is not enough, or they make fun of you for who you're created to be, God has already gone through that. And when you are dying at the end of your life, God has already been through that. And I feel like that is the thing that we need Good Friday for. It's this reminder that when you hear that verse read at funerals and even sometimes on Easter, but from Romans 8, where we hear that, like, nothing will separate us from the love of God, like, that is Good Friday. That is literally all the things that we think will separate us from God happening to God. God being like, I'm there already. I'm there. I'm there. I'm there. I'm there too. And honestly, this is why I kind of love that Holy Saturday in between Friday and Easter Sunday, because that's like where life is to me. That's like where we live most of our life, right? That waiting weird space between like really bad things happening and really good things happening, where most of our life takes place, is just in the meh, where we're like coming out of the fog of an impossibly hard day, and we haven't had a new day start yet, right? We haven't seen the sunrise yet. We haven't felt like Easter has come yet in whatever scenario. So that Saturday is also important, but I feel like you can't experience that Saturday or even Easter Sunday if you haven't gone through the hard stuff. I mean, you can. Easter is great if you haven't gone through Good Friday, but also Easter's a lot better when you understand that the lowest place you can imagine, God's already been there and God is there. When we say nothing will separate you from the love of Christ, like when you die, God says, I've already been there. I got this. I already redeemed that. I already made it new and different and whole. I think that what happens on Easter is God showing us what God's picture for the world, a redeemed world, looks like. Like even the worst thing is given new life. The worst thing. So I hope you guys all get a chance to go find a church on Easter Sunday. And also, this is my little pitch here, but Easter Sunday, if you have a church where a lady pastor is preaching, the word on Easter should be heard from a woman, in my not so humble opinion. And this is just because the first people to the tomb were women, and they ran back and told the disciples about it, and the disciples didn't quite believe them. So the sassy title for my sermon on Easter Sunday is Believe Women. I don't know if I'm going to use it yet, but it's there in the back of my head. And I will be talking about the fact that the women were the first ones to know and to hear and to know that Jesus had risen. And so that matters. And I hope that your congregation, if you go to a church, if it's not your home church, but just a church you're visiting at, I hope they take note of that. That is an important part of this story. And if you're in the Twin Cities, hey, come on over to mine. I'm preaching this Easter and I'd love to have you with me. But Holy Week. It is important. And I get the not wanting to sit in it because, man, life is hard enough. Gosh, who needs more? But also, it's kind of good to be reminded that God's been there. So, Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then Easter. That is Holy Week. And I hope that was helpful for Natalia's Bible Corner, which, if Nora were here, she would sing. Open your Bibles, get in the corner. Natalia's going to tell you what's in there. Mom, you are weird. I hope you heard that in the background. My daughter just goes, Mom, you are weird. I want you to know that Nora wrote that song. I did not write that song.
Oh, then Nora, you are weird.
Okay, go. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Cafeteria Christian, Natalia's Bible Corner version, mini version, whatever it is. Hopefully we'll get a chance to record new episodes soon. But in the meantime, please do go support Nora, support her book, go buy any number of her books. She has a TED Talk out that's awesome and you should all go watch it. You should go see her on tour for her book tour, or TTFA is on tour, any of those things. Support Nora and what she's doing. And hopefully we'll be together again soon to record some new epis. Cafeteria Christian is a part of the Altar Guild network of podcasts. We are so thankful for them and the ELCA, who gave us a ministry grant to help us buy this equipment. So thank you, Minneapolis Lutherans. And also, thank you to the Reverend Matthew Ian Fleming. He's had a little break. I'm testing his skills again this week by throwing lots of moments of interruption into his editing list. So that'll be super fun for him. Thank you, Matthew, for all you do. We so appreciate you. And then to all of you, thank you for listening and continue to connect with us and share with us and tell people about this podcast. Sure, but also go online, rate it, rank it. I don't understand how that works, but algorithms are like a thing. So go make the algorithms send people to our podcast, and also continue to follow us on social media. On Facebook, good conversations are always happening there. Even in this break that we've had between episodes, people are still saying and talking about stuff, which is awesome. And then on Instagram, you can find us as well. And we will answer messages on email. And as we always love, please send us voicemails if you are interested in wanting us to cover a topic in the future. And it's so much easier to make these recordings when there's a question we can answer from somebody else's voice. So if you can leave us a voicemail, our number is 612-568-6066. And again, just look up Cafeteria Christian and all the things, Gmail, Instagram, you know, not Twitter. That place is horrible. But otherwise, come find us on Patreon, Instagram, all the places, and we will talk to you there. In the meantime, until next Natalia's Bible Corner and until the next time we are together again, just take what you like and leave the rest. Bye.